the crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at The Avenue. Here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
Series dubs. It's all that matters. 9-2 on the road. Beating up on the rivals. Vibes are good on a Saturday afternoon from St. Louis. Hi, everybody. Dominic Cotroneo with you. Craig Kishon joining us momentarily as well. The Brewers win big, and they have won the series over the Cardinals, and it could have been a very different contest. 12-5, the final today. You had multiple hits from 8 out of 9 starters. Everybody had a hit. 3 homers hit in the game, 18 hits a season high. They went 6-for-13 with runners in scoring position, got back on track with the offense, which was very important with the way things went with the pitching staff. The bullpen was great once again, and the best part of it all, Craig, they did all this to win a series in their first series of the year against the St. Louis Cardinals, and they continue to roll here in April.
Yeah, it's great, Dom, the fact that well, first of all, I will say this. Any win against the St. Louis Cardinals is a great, great, great win. And they've got 2 in a row. Yesterday was very pleasurable because it could have been a 1-0 victory. It goes extra innings that the Brewers pull it out. And then, you know, today wasn't easy. You know, with D.L. Hall out there, you know, there was a lot of traffic against, you know, Milwaukee's defense. But the fact that the offense really picked him up, you know, in the first few innings was really good to see. I don't know what's wrong with Oliver Dunn that he only had 1 hit in today's game and everyone else had at least 2. We're going to have to figure that out going into tomorrow's game. Joke, joke.
Exactly. I've got a player of the game poll up right now. Who's your player of the game? Unfortunately, Oliver Dunn did not make it in that player of the game poll, but I've got Jackson Chourio up there. I've got Rhys Hoskins up there. I've got Bryce Terang up there as well. We'll get to some of those responses. And you can text us or call us 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. I want to start with Chourio, though, here, Craig, because he's in the bottom of the order. He's in a mini funk coming into today. He had been 3 for his last 26. Yes, I know he hit the home run on Monday against Joe Musgrove, but he had kind of been in his first big league growing pain. And we know there's going to be more of these throughout the season. And to be fair, there's going to be growing pains for D.L. Hall throughout the season, too. We'll get to him a little bit later on in the program. But for Chourio today, sure, the home run with 2 strikes is cool to go back to back with Bryce Terang in the big 4th inning. What I loved was 2 walks, right? You know me. I love walks. I love getting on base. It was his first multi-walk game, and he got on base 4 times today. I thought that was a bigger development moment than hitting an opposite field home run. What do you think?
Well, it's interesting because that did stick out with me as well today. And it, honestly, I kind of flash back to his very first at-bat in the majors in the opener against the Mets when he drew the walk. Leading off the game, he was in that, you know, top of the order. Here we go. Welcome to the big leagues, Rook. And I thought that at bat to start out the season looked as professional as the at bats that we saw here today. And the fact that he did draw 2 walks, I get it that he's gone through, you know, a little mini slump or whatever. I mean, obviously everyone's going to go through several of those throughout the season. But this guy, to me today, just looks like he was up there at the plate going, all right, I've learned a few things in the majors. I've learned how to be successful. I've learned how to fail. And now it's time to learn how to bounce right back. And you know, he just has a great eye at the plate. We all understand that. And he can hit the ball the other way. We saw that home run today. So I just really marvel at what this young guy has done and the composure he's had for somebody that just turned 20 years old a little over a month ago. Phenomenal stuff.
He's been really fun to watch, and to think that this is only the beginning of a very long journey for him, fire me up for that. Another guy I want to shout out is Bryce Terang. My jaw, Craig, was on the floor on the pitch that he hit a home run on. To paint the picture, it's an 0-2 count. Michaelis is still out there. a leadoff double from Blake Perkins, because, well, I shouted him out yesterday, but Blake Perkins continues to be fantastic for the Brewers. But it's 0-2. Michaelis has a bunch of junk that he can throw, and he executes a pretty good slider down and in. It was not a strike. It was below the knees. It was off the plate, and Terang drops the barrel on it and pulls it for a home run, and pulls it with authority. I'm going to be honest, Craig. I don't think Bryce Terang had the ability to do that last season, especially in the second half. That's a bona fide, easy thing to point at to say, yes, he has made an adjustment, and he is showing signs of the quantum leap once again. We're going to say quantum leap every time he does something great this season.
Well, let's dial in on the artistry that you just painted for us, because to me, my ankles still hurt because I swear to God, his ankles were bent over by the time he connected on that ball. It was so far down and inside. And the fact that he launched that swing and that ball out of the park was really phenomenal stuff. I mean, this is not the same Bryce Terang from a year ago. You know, a year in the majors obviously has benefited this guy to a great deal, because what it did was it made him work. It made him learn. It made him listen. It gave him confidence. And this is a completely different ball player here right now. I mean, the swing that he took on that home run a year ago would have been such a swing and miss, three pitches and you're out of here. It's not even funny. So you have to really marvel and appreciate the progress that this guy's made.
He's been phenomenal. He also had a double at 101 miles an hour off the bat. The home run was hit at 100 miles an hour off the bat. He is hitting the ball with authority right now. Another guy on the offense that mini slump, but maybe just kind of getting things going and reminding folks that he missed an entire season of baseball, is Reese Hoskins. Today he gets three runs batted in, including opening the scoring in the first inning with a two-run shot. For Reese to start to warm up here and continue to get at-bats, Reese, I remind Brewers fans, is a bona fide slugger. He's not up there to try to change his approach. Yes, he had an excuse-me base hit on a check swing today, but he's not up there to change his approach to try to poke a single. That's not what his value is. His value is to do damage to the baseball, and he's going to try to do damage as often as he can. And today, we saw that thunder in the bat re-arrive with the two-run shot to left field. That ball was off the bat at 102 miles an hour. I mean, the Brewers, of the 15 hardest hit balls today, 11 of them were Brewers. This is what they do well. They punish baseballs, and Reese was the latest to add his name to that.
I'm enjoying watching his home run swing, the flight of his ball. I mean, this guy's a power hitter. We all knew this going into the season. But look, I can hardly wait to see more of this. I can hardly wait to see if this guy, you know, swings even better the further into the summer we go and the hotter the temperatures go, whatever it takes. He's fun to watch. There's no question about that. I also always described him as a professional hitter. And I think, Dom, professional hitters find a way to check swing RBI singles into the mix like we saw later in the game as well. I mean, he's already hit the home run. He's already displayed the power. And why not do something like this? That means he's starting to see everything really well here right now. And you're right. You know, you have to once in a while point out the fact that this guy missed a whole season, and it was last year. So he's not used to any of this stuff on a regular basis since the 2022 season. So fun to watch. Honestly, can't wait for more. He is high entertainment, man.
Yes, the hit column was stacked today for the Brewers. But as I look at these exit velocities, and this is, I just ask you, look, obviously the offense was good today, right? And obviously they scored 12 runs, they had 18 hits, there was execution, they were nearly 500 with runners in scoring position today. But as I look at these numbers and the hard hit rates and what the Brewers are doing, I put some people to sleep with that stuff, but this stuff matters, right, Greg? It's not a coincidence that the Brewers are hitting the ball hard. Okay, I'm looking a little deeper now. 22 balls in this game were hit over 100 miles an hour between both teams. 22 were hit at least 100 miles an hour. The Brewers had 16 of them. This is not a coincidence that we're feeling good about the offense in April because they are continuing. The entire lineup is tearing the cover off the ball. We just have a way to measure it now.
Yeah, and it's and they're well aware of it. It's part of the lab that you have talked about, we've talked about the last couple of years in a lot of different ways. It's about how these guys, these young kids that we're talking about, have crafted their game and have succeeded. And it's how they're going to win more ball games, even this season. Like, I think the pace that they're on here right now, collectively, just shows where the organization is right now. It's not a few individuals, doing their own thing here right now. It's a collective thing. That's how I'm seeing this. And this is how you get it done. And it's been pretty interesting to watch, because this is where we are with the whole, awareness thing with the numbers, and stuff that you talk about a lot, Dom. Now, look, once in a while you do put me asleep, but I get what you're saying. You know what I mean?
It's the nerd really comes out, and he has a really hard time keeping it in layman's terms. I get so excited because I see the stuff that these front offices care about, and you see the makings of what this team has going for it. And we'll talk about D.L. Hall in the next segment, what's going on with him. But at the same time, the Brewers are able to weather these kind of games now. I did not feel the same way at all the last two and a half seasons, where the Brewers – think about how many times Corbin Burns or Brandon Woodruff was not getting grunt support. And look, this week was tough, obviously. There were a few games that the Brewers' offense looked very human without Christian Yelich. But today, again, without Yelly, they're going in there with a plan, with an attack mode, and we can see the fruits of their labor. It's only April 20th. It's not going to last the entire season. But to say that this is your starting point, you have to imagine there will be improvement, maybe a little bit of regression. But at the same time, if you've already proven to yourself in April that you can go on a 13-6 stretch in 19 games, who's to say you can't do that with this kind of offense in like August or September when you really need it?
Well, yeah, and I'll just do a little sidetrack on your take here, because I'm looking at it like this, and this is how baseball goes. When did the bats start getting quiet? And it was when they faced Corbin Burns on Saturday, last Saturday over the weekend, a week ago today. But this is why a guy like Corbin Burns, as we all know, having pitched for the Brewers his entire career until now, is a Cy Young Award winner. He can shut down your operation. Now, does that mean he's throwing no hitters and he's throwing shutouts? Not necessarily. He can shut down your operation, by being very crafty, by being, the veteran pitcher that he is, by allowing you to get some base runners, some hits, and then all of a sudden shutting the door on your inning and you get nothing in return over and over and over again. And sometimes those, now, who are you lining up on the schedule? San Diego's coming to town. Pretty good pitching staff is there as well. So I think it was a little bit of a carryover. I might be stretching this opinion a little bit on this, but I mean, we're all going to see this. We've all seen this. This is how baseball works. It's why you play 162. You're going to have your stretches when you're playing really well and you're seeing the ball really well as a hitter. And then all of a sudden, one game, things can get shut down for a little stretch. So this is kind of how I look at it. I just think this offense is too good, though, to be shut down for too long here right now. And the 13 wins in the first 19 games, you just have to give so much credit to the hitting right now.
It's been fantastic, and you have to think they're going to get better when Yelich returns and when Garrett Mitchell returns, and some tough decisions in the outfield are certainly looming. A couple of texts that have rolled in here. Terang is my player of the game. This guy is turning into an all-star. That's from Doug and Baraboo. Also added, they are back, 12 more runs. I like the lineup today. Maybe switch Frelick and Churio. I'm fine with today's lineup. And then he made me laugh. Ollie Marmol is in trouble, I would think. Appreciate the text there, Doug. They, vibes are not good in the Lou right now for the Redbirds, as they have some tough start to explain for. But they've got their ace going tomorrow. Let's shift to a little bit of pitching here coming up in the next segment. Brewers extra innings rolls on here at the top of the hour. Brewers win 12-5. You're on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
You're listening to Brewers Extra Innings, presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
Welcome back. Dominic Catronio and Craig Kishon with you here on WTMJ, resetting at the top of the hour. Brewers win 12-5. This is Brewers Extra Innings. A couple of texts that have rolled in here as well. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. I noticed this the other day, and I really thought it was nice. When I see Pat Murphy walk out of the mound to change pitchers, his way of walking and even his face reminds me very much of Casey Stengel. That made me chuckle. That text does from the 414 here as well. A complete performance and another series win. Today's offensive output is the obvious storyline. But what the pitching staff has done over the last three games cannot be overlooked. You love to see it. That one from Josh in Milwaukee. As it's all been sunshine and rainbows in this first segment, we do got to have a real talk here about D.L. Hall. D.L. Hall had a rough first two innings today. He had 68 pitches through two innings. He had four walks through two innings. He ended up with five today. He's off for a no decision. There were a couple plays that really helped him, but man, for a split second, Craig, those first seven pitches today gave me hope. He struck out the first two batters of the game on seven pitches. And I'm sitting here thinking, okay. And then, obviously, he gives up a run in the first, and then he gives up three runs in the second. And got things back to work into the fourth, but just a little bit of live development, live growing pains in the big leagues for D.L. Hall.
Well, I think, you know, what you're describing is what we've seen, you know, out of a lot of Brewer pitchers that went on to be successful and to a lot of Brewer pitchers that did not develop well on the major league level, which means this guy, it's still a little bit up in the air. But I think with his, he's got all the upside. We understand that. But, you know, a trade for Corbin Burnes to bring this guy over does not instantly make this guy a winner. It's still going to take an incredible amount of patience and understanding. But he is clearly off to a rough start here in his Brewer career. But this guy's made five big league starts, and four of them has come as a Milwaukee Brewer. So he's got a long way to progress here. He's got a long way to develop. Patience is going to be, you know, the virtue here right now. Yes, he is showing good signs, but right now his numbers are not pretty at all. I mean, he's pitched 16 and a third, and he's given up 14 earned runs. You know, his ERA is just under 8 here right now. But they're going to have to weather the storm here, you know, and hope that somehow he shows progress. And also, Dom, you know as well as anybody here right now, the behind-the-scenes work that you know that he's going through and will continue to go through with Chris Hook and the entire staff is really going to be critical at this point. I'm not a coach. I've been around long enough to know that whatever he's doing out on the mound right now, to me, he doesn't look comfortable. He looks rushed. He just doesn't look like he's there yet. And I think that confidence, is something that still is obviously can only grow and he can accept here right now. And hopefully that's, you know, the next steps for him.
I see a guy, I mean, obviously the command, and I know I'm really stepping out on a limb here talking about his command today, but look, he's got almost as many walks as strikeouts, 10 walks, and then he throw in two hit batters. So that's, let's call that 12 free passes and 13 strikeouts. Whereas last season, granted it was mostly out of the bullpen, 18 appearances, 23 strikeouts and only 5 walks. So it's command-oriented for D.L. Hall. Does that change overnight? No, absolutely not. But to me, that tells me it's fixable, right? It's not like he's giving up. He has given up a lot of hits, obviously, but not all of them are rockets. Not all of them are like, oh my gosh, this guy's getting shelled with a million homers being hit or that sort of thing. I see a dude that really struggles or maybe lacks confidence with two strikes and gets a little bit too cute and is worried about contact, doesn't maybe trust his defense entirely. But something flipped between that second and third inning, because you look in the top of the third after a long second inning, he's at 68 pitches in two innings. He was probably one batter away from being taken out of that game. Then he gets an 11-pitch top of the third from Miles Michaelis on the other side. So that means he barely gets a break to get back out there for the bottom of the third. And what does he do? He sprints out to the mound and retires the side in order, three consecutive outs, only needed 12 pitches. Then he got some great defense after a leadoff walk in the fourth on a great double play by Rhys Hoskins. That might have been the play of the game, because if that ball gets by Rhys, it's probably an RBI double down the line, and this game is tied. You fail to get the shutdown inning because the Brewers were leading 5-4 at the time. And then D.L. Hall gets one more batter, and that was it. But something clicked between that second and third inning, and I wonder if he can carry that over.
Well, yeah, and that's what the Brewers have to hope for at this point. That's what, you know, Chris Hook has to hope for at this point. You have to look. We can't look at, look, I spit out all these numbers and said, yes, there's some things that you that are clearly worrisome because you can't win with these numbers. But again, the other thing I pointed out is this guy's got, you know, such upside to him. And the Brewers would not go after a guy and bring him in, especially for this marquee trade, unless they knew that he was going to help this ball club this year. At some point, he's really going to help this ball club. And I think that they need to look at exactly what you're saying. The inning where he's struggling before, he struggled after, but where are you keeping your team here right now? And yeah, every pitcher needs some luck defensively and have his guys make good plays. And they did that. So in the whole grand scheme of things, for all the pitches he threw in such the early stages of this game, he still found a way to keep his team in it. And it wasn't long after, you know, he was able to leave with a lead. So, I mean, you know, he did his job to a certain extent. I guess the bottom line is, you know, there is a silver lining to this. And I think that, you know, those are the things you have to build on for sure.
Let me read you some of the transcript today with Pat Murphy. This courtesy of Adam McAlvey of MLB.com. Murph, quote, we'll hopefully grab some positives out of this and let him know some of the adjustments that still have to be made. There were a couple of positive things, that's for sure, but we believe in the kid, so whatever we end up doing with him, it's going to be in his best interest. Then the media crew followed up with, does that indicate the Brewers are considering a change? Quote from Murph, there's got to be adjustments made. We're not going to keep rolling balls out and letting him throw 3 1/3 and say, hey, that's fine, Murphy said. It's not fine. It's not acceptable, but he's a young kid, but it doesn't mean he's not great. It's just what he's going through right now. So my question to you, Craig, you're Matt Arnold. Put on your Matt Arnold hat for a second. Do you think, and we don't know the full story, to be fair, we're speculating, do you think sending D.L. Hall to AAA to refine some things and get some command, get some confidence would be good for him? How would you handle this situation?
Well, I think this team is in desperate need of starting pitching. They've already, you know, put a strain on their bullpen. I mean, that's clear at this point. So they are in they're in a dilemma on both ends. And I think going into this, they clearly had to have had a this is where D.L. Hall is going to succeed, and this is where he's going to fail. And the C plan is now, what do we do, you know, if he has a little combination of all this stuff? You know, I think you have to, you just have to keep working with him. And somehow, Dom, he needs to turn all of these balls that are out of the strike zone. He has got to start pitching and getting this ball even put in play at this point. I mean, we all saw throughout this game, it didn't take the St. Louis Cardinals hitters long at all to say, you know what, you better put it over the plate, pal, because if you're not putting it right over the plate, it is not in the strike zone and I'm not swinging. And that's what we saw, you know, for four innings here in this game. So, but going back to it, I really think that he needs to have another start or two before they can completely figure out, you know, what to do with him at this level. Is he ready to keep going at this level, or like you're saying, does he need to go back to AAA? But if you send him back there, it's probably going to be for how many starts, because he's not going to go back to AAA at his age and his lack of major league experience for one start or maybe even two starts and say, yep, he's fixed it. Maybe it's going to take three or four starts. So now he's out of your rotation on the big league level for, you know, 3 weeks, close to a month. Who replaces him?
It's a good
question. They're already thin. So I don't know.
It's to me, it's like you're at a great steakhouse, right? And you're thinking about, all right, I want that great filet mignon, but I want it medium well, okay? I don't want to see any pink in that middle. I want it medium well. But then the filet mignon arrives and it's more on the medium rare side. And you're thinking, I don't think it's ready yet. But I mean, I know some people like this, and maybe this works for some people. Maybe some teams that don't have central division aspirations. And again, a guy that's making his fifth big league start. Five. That is so young, so early in this. I don't think it's a bad thing to ask your waiter, say, hey, man, can we just fire this up for a little bit longer? I'm totally excited to eat it. Can't wait to see what I can enjoy with this. That's how I feel with DL Hall right now. I think it's in there. I really do think it's in there, because there were some curveballs and some sliders I saw today that I'm like, wow. And he's getting a lot of whiffs on the changeup because they're hunting fastballs. So maybe a little repertoire tweak, a little bit of patience, some great video from Todd Rosiak of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today. He tweeting, DL Hall basically admitting, yeah, the game's speeding up on me right now, and I got to find a way to slow things down. At least he's identifying the issues, and I still believe in this kid. It's five starts in, like you said, Craig. There is still time to figure this out. All right, we're going to spend one more segment here with Craig Kishon coming up after the break. We're going to go down the box score here in just a little bit as well, but also want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank with a local Milwaukee team. Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Take a breather. Come back with more on WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on Brewers Extra Innings.
I'm Dominic Catronio. Craig Kishon is with us for one more segment. Brewers win 12-5. Spend this segment going down the box score, picking some of our favorite performances in today's contest. I want to just first and foremost shout out the bullpen once again. They were fantastic picking up the slack for DL Hall. They go 5 1/3 inning, only allowed one hit, one run, three walks, but also struck out four in the game. They just ice things ASAP. Hobie Milner has retired 10 of his last 11 batters faced, including six strikeouts. Bryce Billy Wilson picked up where he left off on Wednesday in that bullpen game, an inning and a third, four up and four down. They're being worked a lot right now, which worries me, but the bullpen seems like it's right back to where it was, and there's plenty of reinforcements that you can call up on. When J.B. Bukauskas gets healthy, maybe you've got a guy like Tobias Myers who's available for a spot fill-in whenever you need it. When this team gets Devin Williams back, oh my goodness, man, I'm already licking my chops, getting ahead of myself.
Yeah, they've been really a joy to watch and so reliable. It's not even funny at this point. I mean, if anybody has looked beyond just the scores here. And yes, we're seeing so much more offense so far here in the first month of the season. Just the fact that this bullpen has already been pressed into duty at a pretty high level right now to make this pitching staff as good as it is. I mean, look what we've seen, you know, the previous two games going into this one. Really three, if you stretch it all the way back to Tuesday night with Wade Miley making a short start. What the bullpen, you know, just day after day after day has been able to put together, really phenomenal stuff here. I mean, you know, here's my thing. I'm looking at this too. I'm just glancing at this box score and I'm chuckling because this is a little thing that I've got going here in the last couple of years with the way the game has changed, with so many starters, not not going five innings anymore. I really wonder if there'll ever be an adjustment to who gets awarded the win in some of these games. Because if I did this from a scores official score, and I get to award the win to somebody in the bullpen, I think I would have given it to Milner today. What, who would you have given it to, Wilson?
I understand Wilson because he really stopped the bleeding, and at the time, you know, it was they were trailing 4-2, or rather, they had just taken the lead.
They had just taken a lead. That's kind of my thing, you know.
I mean, see what you're saying.
I'm even going to throw this out for everything that we just talked about with DL Hall and him. Actually, he could have given up a lot more runs. I mean, we just went through this whole thing. He actually left with the lead. Now, I get it. He didn't pitch five innings, but who do you award the victory after that when the Brewers had never trailed again?
Yeah, the rules could change maybe one day. I mean, shoot, after Justin Verlander, if he ever gets there, he's still something like 40 wins away. We'll probably never see another 300-game winner in baseball history. So, and he may not even get there. And if he can't, who can? So that's a good point there. I look at since Tuesday night, I got the numbers to back you up here, my friend. The Brewers, nobody's bullpen has thrown as many innings as the Brewers since Tuesday night when Wade Miley had to come out of that game early, 20 2/3, and yet they have a 1.74 ERA against. One of those runs came last night against the Cardinals, so they've been phenomenal. A few too many walks for my liking, but nonetheless, the bullpen has been great. We talked about Blake Perkins without you yesterday with Jerry Augustine here on the program too, but I just have to kind of just say this. William Contreras, that's all I got. I best hitter and maybe the best hitter right now on the National League. He's already the best catcher. We've already crowned him with that, and that's his celebration this year. This dude's an all-star. This dude's a silver slugger. This dude might be a gold glove finalist too, but there is not a doubt in my mind who the team MVP is right now, and it's William Contreras.
Well, I keep saying this, Dom, since he arrived here, and it's this is joking, but not, but it's not meant to be bad in any way. This guy, the look on his face that he carries onto the field is you don't want to meet this guy in a dark alley. You want him to be following you into that dark alley as your backup, your lead. But off the field, giant smile, super, super great guy, good human being. But he is the epitome of old school in my book. The fact that, especially from a catcher standpoint, yeah, he DH'd today, but you know darn well he would have jumped back behind that plate, you know, if he had his choice. The fact that he's playing every day, this is some old school good stuff. And I think the point that, you know, that I want to start making, you know, from really this game on, if this team keeps winning and we're still seeing, you know, certain players stepping up and really playing some phenomenal baseball here right now, I think we always talk about Murph kind of being that old school type manager. And I think some of these guys in this lineup and maybe even on that pitching staff reflect their manager a lot. And I think this is one of the reasons, in my opinion, why Contreras is taken off. I mean, let's face it, between Murph and Contreras, they knew probably the day they showed up at spring training, Murph is like, you tell me when you want to play and how often you want to play. As long as you're healthy, you're in. And I think Contreras appreciates that. He knows he handles the staff better than anybody. He knows what he can do behind the plate. And just the fact that, you know, he's at 372 on the season with three more hits, I don't think that's a fluke. I don't know if he can keep up, you know, 370 average. Mm-mm. But man, oh man, you know, tell him that, right? Hey, William, can you keep this up? He'll tell you yes. So you love that out of a guy like him.
When you look back to last season, he obviously played a lot in the second half, and I just went back to look just to see how much. Well, from July 1 and on, he only took three games off all of last season from July 1st on. That includes, I'm trying to see if there's any pinch hits in here, and there isn't actually. So he started all but three games from July 1st on last year, and then he played the last 37 games in a row. So today was game number 19. He's on a streak of, quick math, 56 games in a row right now. And also, I don't think this is a coincidence either. The Brewers improved today to 13-6. And over these 56 games, the Brewers' record with William Contreras starting 56 consecutive games right now is 37-19. They are a whopping 18 games over 500 in the 56 games in a row that Wild Bill has started the game. I don't think that's a coincidence.
No, it's not at all. I mean, this guy was built to play. This guy was, more importantly, built to succeed. And, you know, he's still young. He still has so much left of his career, and he's knocking on the door. Just getting into the prime portion of it. And, you know, he's enjoyable to watch, but man, can you imagine being a teammate of his? Can you imagine being a pitcher on the staff? Can you imagine being around? Can you imagine Sal Frelick? Hey, I'm just going to jump on base. I'm going to score another run or two in this game, guaranteed. What Willie Adames is batting 303. He's batting behind this guy. He didn't have guys like this all the time around him, you know, in his tenure so far with Milwaukee either. So he's making everybody better, you know, in my opinion. The fact that he's putting up these individual numbers is crazy good, but he's the reason that top of the order is incredibly dangerous right now.
Over this stretch, this doesn't include today's game, but he's got 3.2 wins above replacement according to FanGraphs over these 56 games, which is the third most in baseball, only behind Mookie Betts and Juan Soto. Okay, that's why this guy is being considered for MVP in April. That's why we're taking this very seriously right now.
Take that, brother. Take that.
Take that. Keep it rolling, the numbers.
Man.
I didn't bore you with the numbers, baby. See,
not
I can
at
be
all.
A nerd and entertain. I love it. Craig Kishon, thank you as always, my friend. We'll holler at you next week, and hopefully we don't see you for very long because obviously you're hoping for a long Bucks run of the playoffs.
You got that right, Dom. Thanks, man. Have a great rest of the weekend.
All right, Craig Kishon here on WTMJ. We'll take a breather, come back with more, some more thoughts, maybe a couple of highlights as well, some interesting nuggets too. Let me get to a couple of texts here as well before we get to break. Murphy's Mashers are back, of course, from our friend Tom in South Dakota. Remember Burns' struggles, though, his return to AAA before we got it together. MLB work takes time in regards to Hall. That is a very good take as well. And another one here from Tom. The Brewers have the best record in baseball against 500 teams or better. They are 8-4. They're also 9-2 on the road. So they've been very, very comfortable away from home. Take a breather. Come back with more notes. Brewers win 12-5. They have won the series. They go for the sweep tomorrow against Sonny Gray. Back with more after this on WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
It's the final days of Diamonds Direct Spring Sale. This is your last chance to get 20% off store-wide. Plus, book an appointment and you'll get an additional $100 off your purchase. You don't want to miss this. 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. And a huge selection of the latest styles with in-store designer appearances. 20% off ends this Sunday. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Challenge. Find Siding Unlimited's unique outside-in showroom. It's not easy. 665 Larry Court, Waukesha. You'll need it for the Saturday, April 27th open house from 8 to 1. Here's a clue. SidingUnlimited.com.
Now, more Brewers Extra Innings presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
Deep in a rabbit hole now. I'm just looking up as many Wild Bill stats as I can. Somebody save me. This is a lot. Brewers win 12-5. I'm really uncovering. When I find one little piece of gold, you know, like it's the gold rush, like I'm a 49er out west, I'm finding all of the stuff that I want to learn about William Contreras right now. Back to that in a moment. Brewers win 12-5. They've won the series over the Cardinals. I want to remind you, Brewers Extra Innings also brought to you in part by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Summer's right around the corner, even though it doesn't feel like it today. Now through June 15th, Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical is offering $1,500 off of Central Air Systems. You can schedule an appointment today at SEIDER.com, Sider Heating, Plumbing, and electrical. So I'm just doing some live number crunching here on the radio, going back to those 57 games in a row like we were talking about with William Contreras. And I'm getting ready to tweet this out, so you get to be the first person that hears it when it comes to his ranks across baseball and over this stretch and that sort of thing. He's a 3-4-5 player over his last 56 consecutive starts. What does that mean, a 3-4-5 player? That's an easy benchmark way to tell if a player is elite. A 3-4-5 means a 300 batting average, a 400 on-base percentage, and a 500 slugging percentage. That means you're doing a lot of things well, doing a lot of things right. And when you look at the numbers right now for William Contreras, as I'm pulling him up right now, his batting average since this streak began is .345. That's the best in baseball. His on-base percentage since this began is .434. That's the third best in baseball. His slugging is .542, but that's still impressive because of the 3 and the 4 before it with the 300 average and the 400 on base. That's only 16th in baseball, only. And then his OPS adds up to .966 over this same period as well. He's only got 9 homers over this stretch, which is why the slugging is so much lower than everybody else's. But he's also got 14 doubles. He's got 34 walks in this stretch as well. Only guys like Soto and Alvarez and Harper have more walks than him that are ahead of him when it comes to slugging and batting average. So he is among the game's elite right now. And furthermore, he's got the most hits, just point-blank hits, than anybody in baseball since this 56-game streak started. 76 hits. That's more than Altuve. That's more than Mookie. That's more than Acuna. That's more than Freeman. That's more than Turner. That's more than Kwan. That's more than Simeon. This dude is going to be in the MVP conversation. I know it's only April, but going back to last season, we have no reason not to believe it. And I was watching Valley Sports pregame today, and they had a great piece from the Media Day stuff with Sophia Minich. She does such a great job. We have her being an asset here in this market is incredible with the bilingual abilities that she has. But they aired a piece of her conversation with William and his work ethic really coming through in the words he was saying. And when you see results, it makes you want to work even harder. And William is certainly seeing results right now. Just to reiterate, 56 consecutive games played. He's hitting .345 over those games, the best in baseball. He's got 76 hits in those games, the most in baseball. He's got a .434 on-base percentage. That's the third best in baseball. A .532 slugging and a .966 OPS. Both of those are top 20 in all of baseball. Oh, by the way, he's also catching. He is in a class of one right now. Let me just scroll in just the batting average. I know batting average isn't everything until I can see another catcher on this list. And I also minimized it to be at least 150 plate appearances. Yainer Diaz is next on the list at 296, so roughly 50 points back of William. He's also got roughly 70 points back in on-base percentage, which is still very good. And he's got a .467 slug, so that's 70 points, a little less than 70 points back of William. In a class all on his own. These numbers are blowing my mind as I'm finding them right now. The Brewers, it's a great day because they win, the Cardinals lose, the Cubs lost game one of a doubleheader against the Marlins in heartbreaking fashion, depending on your view of it. Brian De La Cruz hit a go-ahead home run off of Adbert Alzolay. They're getting ready to go for game two in about 30 minutes time. And then also the Pirates, they're losing to the Red Sox right now 4-2. The Reds are just getting underway against the Angels, so there's an opportunity for the Brewers to be the only team in the Central to win today as they improve to a record of 13-6. They'll go for a sweep tomorrow. It'll be Colin Ray, Code Red, going up against Sonny Gray. This will be a great pitching matchup again, as it has been the last few times for Colin Ray. He's been drawing the short end of the stick, facing the aces of the other staffs as of late. We'll talk about that toward the end of the program. Coming up next, though, we're going to hear from the manager, Pat Murphy. A lot to talk about. We talked about D.L. Hall and the offense, how good they've been looking. A 12-5 win over the Cardinals. Back with more after this on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Welcome back. Looking at some of the player of the game poll results, Jackson Churio is running away with it right now. But a few good responses as that poll just closed. He got almost 60% of the vote. 250 folks voted today over on my Twitter at Dom_Catronio. This one from Aaron in Illinois. I took the Rook, Dom. Had a stolen base as well. The bullpen was fantastic again. The defense was good as usual. Let's get greedy and get a sweep tomorrow. Another one, this one from JDog441. Other, the bullpen. Good pick there. We talked about them. Chris Beasley says Bryce Wilson should get some love. And also, Brewer Sooner, everyone. You're away with words, Brewer Sooner, but nothing wrong with that. When you have 8 out of 9 starters have multiple hits, all 9 had a hit, the bullpen was great. A lot to like about this one. So let's hear from the manager. What did Pat Murphy think of a 12-5 win over the Cardinals?
Yeah, it was a good day offensively. You know, they're starting to get a little confidence. It's early in the season, and, you know, you start looking up at the board at the numbers, and kids get in their own head sometimes. So I think they're focused now on just getting good pitches to hit and, you know, trying to swing the right way at the ball. So, yeah.
Jackson kind of showed us the breadth of his offensive game today. Homer, kind of a one-man rally there in his last at-bat, a couple of walks.
Right.
Good development day for him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's going to go up and down, but he's got to stay in the zone. You know, like, he's got such good hands. He's got to be able to make that pitcher throw him strikes instead of chasing after it. So, yeah, he was great today.
From what you've seen of his power, Murph, does it look like a lot of it's going to go to right?
I mean, a lot will right now until he starts to understand it a little better. He's 20, so, you know, put him 1,000 at-bats in. I think that'll start changing.
How important were the innings that the bullpen gave you today?
Yeah, it was crucial. You know, our bullpen and starting – our whole pitching staff is, you know, under construction, so we've got a ton of injuries there, and we're just trying to piece it together. But you got to credit Milner again for the job he did, and Billy Wilson. I mean, that was, you know, tremendous. So yeah, you look at the Uribe gave us one plus, and that's how you do it. You know, that's how you when you're under construction. That's how you do it. You know. It's, no real set roles or anything like that, just get outs. Yeah.
DL had to throw quite a few extra pitches in that inning on the throw home. How much of a role do you think that played in his struggles ultimately?
Yeah, I mean, he picks up a bunt that might roll foul. He's got to understand the timing of the game. I think that shows you a lot, that things are speeding up on him a little bit. We put high expectations on him, putting him in that role and being traded for a guy that has the legacy that Corbin Burns does. And I think, he puts a little too much on himself. And somehow I think he's going to learn from all of this, because I know there's a real great competitor and great pitcher in there. But, more of the same, kind of getting himself in trouble. And yeah, but we didn't help him that. And the Sal's throw over the cutoff man's head, then all of a sudden lets the guy, you know, get to second. And now the next ball is a ground ball, maybe a double play, you know. So, so guys like that, it seems like things snowball. So,
sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. It's hard to guess with younger players, you know, how long it takes for stuff like that to click. Do you feel like it's coming for them, you know, maybe sooner than later?
I mean, he had a good week of work, and that's really important. You guys don't get to see it. It wasn't reflected today. First two hitters of the game, it looked like, okay, he's attacking. But he does that. He works quick, and he's attacking. But I wonder what his internal clock's doing. I think that's the one that's got to slow down. But we'll get to it. We'll get to the bottom of it and spend some time with him here either later today or tomorrow. And hopefully, you know, grab some of the positives out of this and let him know some of the adjustments that still have to be made. So there was a couple positive things, that's for sure. And but we believe in the kid, so whatever we end up doing with him, it's going to be in his best interest in our mind.
Murph, does that sound like maybe you're thinking about doing something with him?
Yeah, there's got to be adjustments made. You know, we're not just going to keep rolling the balls out and let him throw 3 1/3 and say that's fine. It's not fine. You know, it's not acceptable. But he's a young kid, and it doesn't mean he's not great. You know, it's what he's going through right now.
It's straight from the man himself. The quote that we read earlier with Craig Kishon here on WTMJ. So this is not going to be a straight line. This is not going to be overnight. This is not going to be you flip a switch and say, oh, hey, yeah, why weren't you doing that all along? You're trying to develop in the big leagues, and it's very hard to do that. And maybe, just maybe, I'm not saying he's going to become Corbin Burns, but there's a lot longer track record of guys who struggled when they arrived in the big leagues, then started to figure things out, than guys who were fantastic at the start of their big league career and fantastic later in their big league career. Those guys are Hall of Famers, and those guys aren't exactly a dime a dozen. So let's give it some time. Let's all be patient. He also hasn't thrown more than 90 innings in a season, minor leagues or major leagues, since his second year as a professional. So the Brewers are certainly going to keep him on a leash as well come toward the end of the season. Things to monitor and to keep in mind as we move along as he develops as a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball. With all that being said, let's relive some of the excitement of today's game. We got some highlights coming up next here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
After a nail-biter yesterday, the Brewers brought their hitting shoes in Game 2 of a three-game set with the St. Louis Cardinals. Miles Michaelis making yet another start against the Brewers in his Cardinal career, going up against D.L. Hall. The Brewers didn't waste much time in the first inning getting to Michaelis.
The 1-0. Hoskins, a high fly ball deep left field. Newt Barr retreating back to the track. It is way out of here. Hoskins gives it a ride out to left for his fourth home run of the season, and the Brewers on the board in the top of the first. It's 2-0 Crew.
Lane Grindle's call for Reese Hoskins' home run, so 2-0 Brewers. However, in the bottom of the first, D.L. Hall would struggle, and that would be the theme of his day today. An RBI double from Nolan Arenado avoided the shutdown inning, and then in the second, he allowed three runs on an inning that really sped up on him. A leadoff double, then a walk, then a sacrifice bunt that might have gone foul. Instead, he picked it up and fired to first, and it turned out to be a base hit, a sac fly, a ground out, and a single. And all of a sudden, it's 4-2 Cardinals. But the Brewers' offense had a chance to respond with a big swing from William in the second.
High fly ball out to right center field. Ciani racing back onto the warning track, reaching for the wall. He jumps up, and he made the catch and banged into the wall in the process. He didn't rob a home run, but he still made a tremendous catch out there in right center.
Could have scored three with a double off the wall. Instead, the Brewers trail. It's 4-2. Now in the fourth inning, a leadoff double from Blake Perkins, Mr. Smooth, then Bryce Terang on maybe one of the more impressive homers of the year.
It's an 0-2 count on Bryce. Michaelis's pitch. Pulled in the air into right field. That ball carrying. Walker going back onto the warning track. Walker at the fence. See you later. We're tied. Bryce Terang hits it into the Cardinals' bullpen.
That ball was on top of his shoelaces, and he pulls it out for a home run. All tied at four. Four pitches later. How about Action Jackson at the plate?
1-2 pitch. Lifted into right again. Backing up Walker again on the track. Walker leaping up. That ball's gone. Jackson Chourio makes it back-to-back with Bryce Terang. Opposite field home run for the rookie, and the Brewers are back in front.
Three consecutive extra base hits. The Brewers lead 5-4. D.L. Hall had settled down. In the bottom of the fourth, though, he allowed a leadoff walk. Top of the order now in a one-run game, and Brendan Donovan up.
Brewers lead 5-4 in the pitch. Line drive towards first. What a catch! Oh, Hoskins got it. He'll double off Ciani, two out. A lunging backhanded grab by Reese. And two for the price of one for D.L. Hall.
That was the most important play of the game because maybe that was bound for the line and would have maybe scored the tying run. Instead, the Cardinals' offense would go dormant from there. The Brewers' offense was just getting started. In the sixth inning, attacking against the Cardinals' bullpen, William Contreras added an RBI single. They go back to the bullpen, and with two strikes, Willie Adames got his name in the box score.
2-2. Line down the left field line. That's a fair ball. Hits off the sidewall and kicks into left field. Frelick will score. On his way to third is Contreras. He'll stop there. It's an RBI double for Willie Adames. And the Brewers, with a little more breathing room here in the sixth, it's 7-4 Crew.
And then when it's your day, it's just your day. And just take a look at what Reese Hoskins did.
The 1-0. Hoskins, a high fly.
Wrong highlight there, but you get the point. He had a little check swing base hit for an RBI. Rhys Hoskins had himself quite a contest. But the Brewers would add a few more runs. The Cardinals would only add one more in the ninth. And this was a drubbing to win the series. A 12-5 final over the Cards. Back tomorrow looking to get greedy and for the second road sweep of the season. We'll preview that coming up next here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. I'm on top of the world, eh? I'm on top of the world, eh? Welcome back. Final segment here as you get ready to say goodnight. Same schedule tomorrow. We'll be on the air at noon for a 1:15 first pitch. Network takes over at 12:40. I've got you covered for Brewers warm-up from noon to 12:40. Then I've got you after the game for Brewers extra innings. Depending how long our game goes, that will feed us straight into Bucks coverage. Bucks will be on right after us tomorrow. So just hang by your radio, turn on the app, whatever you need to do. We've got you covered, both the Brewers and the Bucks, right here on WTMJ tomorrow. It'll be Sonny Gray against Colin Ray. Sonny Gray's been really good since he came over. He's only made two starts because of a strained hamstring that he sustained during spring training. That put him behind a little bit. 11 innings, 11 strikeouts. He's not allowed an earned run. He's been strong. He was one of the best pitchers in baseball in 2023, making 32 starts, throwing 184 innings. He's great. He's a great pitcher. Intense command. He hasn't walked anybody this season either. Fastball, cutter, slider, curveball, and a rare changeup too. But he is somebody that's got some ridiculous command to contend with. Speaking of command, Colin Ray. And he's got all the cutters and the sinkers and all of that in the world. He also does not walk anybody. He's not afraid of contact. He wants you to swing and get yourself out. Colin this year making his fourth start. 2-0, a 2.70 ERA, and quite frankly, with how much the bullpen has been used as of late, the Brewers would love, if they can project out and if they can forecast what they can get out of Colin Ray tomorrow, if they can get him into the seventh inning tomorrow, they would certainly be thanking him. But if the offense can keep doing what it's doing, that will certainly make that job easier. So that's what's ahead for the Brewers going up against Sonny Gray this week. Looking at the Pirates series next week, we have no probables for the Brewers, but just by, you know, predicting and using days of rest and things of that nature, we can predict Joe Ross will go on Monday. Wade Miley declared before today's game that he will not miss any extra time from getting a comebacker off of his knee. Miley would go on Tuesday, and then you're faced with a decision on Wednesday. Do you keep Wade Miley on 5 days rest, because this won't be a 6 day rotation, or rather on 4 days rest, I should say, and switch him back to 4 days rest because of that extra off day? Or do you push him to Thursday? If you push Freddie Peralta to Thursday, that means DL Hall is going to get a start against the Yankees as of now, unless something drastic changes with a roster move. So these are some of the things the Brewers are certainly considering. It'll be a fun one tomorrow. Looking for a sweep. It's all about gravy tomorrow to see if the Brewers can get it done against the Cardinals. Again, we're on the air at noon. Network will take over at 12:40, and then I've got you after the game as well with Brewers extra innings. We'll also have extra innings on Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night against the Pirates. Just Tuesday night will be over on ESPN Milwaukee. My thanks to Craig Kishon for joining us, and for our producer, Evan Witalison. I'm Dominic Catronio. Brewers win 12-5. Until next time, keep on swinging.